The Biden administration is imposing new sanctions against Cuba's National Revolutionary Police and two of its top officials. The president made that announcement as he met with Cuban Americans and members of Congress last Friday at the White House. He had this message for them.
So I want the Cuban Americans to know that we all around this table, and myself included, see your pain. We hear your voices, and we hear the cries of freedom coming from the island.
Those cries of freedom also echoed here in the U.S., most recently in front of the White House and the Cuban embassy. Thousands demanded the administration take stronger action in Cuba. One of those demonstrating was Elian Colazo, who's executive director of the Cuban Freedom March, and he joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
And if you don't mind, I want to ask you first about your own personal experience coming to the United States as a child. It sounds like it was a pretty harrowing experience, and I presume it has a lot to do with why you were standing outside the White House a few days ago. Can you just tell me about that?
Yes. So I left Cuba when I was 8 years old on a small raft with 43 other people and my mother, and I was kind of reborn at the age of 8 years old when I was able to come to America and have a different life than what I would have had in Cuba.
Do you remember what life was like in Cuba at the time?
Yes, I do. I had already started going to school. I remember my father left Cuba when I was 5 years old. He was on a plane to Moscow and he defected. And me and my mother were left in Cuba and we lost a lot. And we had to come and live with my grandmother. You know, I look back at it now and I only can imagine what my mother and my father, what they were going through at the time, especially my mother. The raft that we were in, you know, that broke down. And we were drifting for 16 hours. My mother was so severely dehydrated that I remember, you know, touching her skin and it would stick together. So it was a very traumatic experience that I still carry with me every day of my life. And I was so lucky to survive.
Yeah. Well, here you are now. You're organizing marches. You, along with other Cuban Americans, you spent a day speaking directly with members of Congress as this new crisis erupts in Cuba. What are you asking for? What do you want?
So first of all, we want solidarity with the Cuban people. We have to keep in mind that they were out there in the streets chanting for libertad, for liberty, down with the regime. And I think that it's important that we leave the politics aside. But we also are asking for actionable things like the sanctionings that are happening. That's a good start. I think that we need a big focus on uninterrupted internet to the Cuban people. That's mm-hmm. not to say that it will be easy, but we have to keep pushing for that.
I presume you want the regime to be gone. And yet the Biden administration doesn't have a lot of options to do that. I mean, look at the sanctions that the president recently announced. He's singling out two police officials in Cuba. Is that going to get you where you want to be? These sanctions don't seem to be very far-reaching at this point.
There is a large amount of sanctioning already on the Cuban regime. So in terms of sanctioning...
In addition to the embargo, right, yeah.
In addition to the embargo. So I think that that's something that we have to be cognizant of. I would like tomorrow for there to be something that topples the regime and takes it out. But we have to be rational. You know, the United States has been in Afghanistan for 20 years. There's no appetite for intervention. So is it realistic for me to advocate for military intervention in Cuba when even people inside of Cuba are fearful of that? And it also plays into this war footing that they have sold to the Cuban people that, you know, the Yankees are coming after us. But yeah, we have to give a win to the Cuban people. The Cuban people have to know that they're being heard and that they are winning, because right now, you know who's not being listened to? The Cuban regime. The Cuban regime is not having a meeting with the Biden administration. And it's important that we push for that narrative, because if we keep pushing the narrative that nothing is being done, then what message does it send to those that are trying to oppress them?
One of the tools on the table, as you suggested, is internet. Now, if the U.S. government can somehow provide Cubans with better internet or help Cuban Americans send money to relatives in Cuba so that the money isn't stolen by the government, those are some things that are on the table. How much would that help?
the internet would help tremendously in two parts. One of the biggest ways that the Cuban government collects hard currency is through its absolute control of telecommunications and internet. So if you're able to circumvent the regime, then there you are cutting off an extraordinary line of revenue for them. And I'm talking about in the billions. But number two, the most important part is for the Cuban people to know that their actions will be seen outside of Cuba without the Cuban government really being able to control it. That's the reason that this massive protest occurred in the first place. They can circumvent that surveillance system that exists on the ground, which is why the Cuban government was reactive to these protests. They weren't proactive like they have been for the past 63 years.
When you say that, it makes me wonder if looking back at your own experience fleeing Cuba and your families because you were young, do you think that the conditions that caused you to leave have gotten any better? Or in some ways, you know, have they improved because of things like the internet?
So I think that the conditions of life in Cuba have not improved for the Cuban people. And I think we have to make a big distinction between the lives of the Cuban people and the lives of tourists in Cuba and the experiences that outsiders who come to Cuba with hard currency have when they go to Cuba. Okay. Mm-hmm. The lives of the Cuban people have not become any better. They have become more informed, which is critical for them to be able to compare and contrast the narrative that the Cuban regime has sold to them over the past 63 years. And the Cuban economy right now, many people say it's at its worst point, even worse than when it was in the 90s after the collapse of the Soviet Union. And that's why we have to continue to work nonstop to amplify the voices of the Cuban people, but also to showcase the humanitarian crisis that the Cuban regime has created for the Cuban people. And now the Cuban people know that they're not victims of anyone but of the regime.
Alian Collazo is executive director of the Cuban Freedom March. Thank you very much.
Thank you.